conspiracies, the curiosity. Spin the tales of Daniel and rumors, or defy explanation, leave you wanting more. All my fightings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. To our seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies.
Welcome back to the chat. Homeschool our kids, government's education. And I'm Wilbur. And we're back in the shack again. We're still here. We're still doing it.
Yeah.
We're continuing on. The shack don't stop. And nothing can stop the shack. The shack is a way of life. It's a movement. It's an energy. And it flows through all of us. And we need to get the keys out and unlock it and let it out. The world needs more of the shack. Welcome back. And that's all I got for an intro today. It's been a long day. I'm tired. But I'm not tired of the shack. You know, I'm not tired of it. So, Daniel, what are we getting into today with the shack? What's the topic at hand?
Just talking about more homestead and stuff.
All right, good. We need a break. Because last week I went on a bit of a rant and I just didn't stop until we hit the done button. Until they came in here and drug me out. So it's been a while since we've talked about homesteading, but you know what? It's happening. The homesteading thing is making strides. Steps are being taken. And, you know, I think it's an important movement to happen because someone's got to do it. And I think there's a movement of it happening. People moving back to live off the land. To live with the land, really.
Yeah.
Because we inhabit the earth. The earth is here for us. That's how I see it. And we're here to live on earth with earth. And we're not here to use earth, to rape earth's resources for our own gain. It's not what it's about. We're here to coexist with the earth. It gives and we give. It receives. And then we receive. So that's just the way it works. And we're about to slowly get tuned in with it and living with Earth. Tuned in together. The shack and the Earth.
Explain what you mean by that.
What do you mean? Which part? The tuning in?
What was I even going to talk about for the last 3 weeks?
Homesteading and the progress made.
I was like, did I actually... I think I had a script for it, but now I can't remember.
Then you want to talk about pigs or something?
Was it pigs or... I thought we did an episode on pigs.
Oh, I think we did, yeah.
Was it ducks?
Maybe it was ducks. I thought we did an episode on ducks.
I have no idea.
Maybe not. It's hard to remember. A lot of things going on with the shack. The shack's more or less a free-flowing, what's bothering you today kind of episode, or this week. And, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world.
Was ducks.
That's what you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk ducks and homesteading?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to it.
No, but we can talk about updates. I ordered my house for the homestead.
Correct. And it's supposed to be delivered as a recording this week.
A week ago.
Well,
It's supposed to be being delivered right now.
Yeah.
Like, today.
Yes, true.
Yes.
As this releases, it's supposed to be here today. So we'll give you guys an update on that. join the
Lisa doesn't want to post any pictures until it's done.
If you oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair.
She just doesn't want anybody to figure out where it is and going to mess with the stuff while we got all the stuff back there.
Oh, that's fine.
Equipment and stuff. You know, we're borrowing equipment and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the only person that knows is the nosy neighbor that's filming everything.
Well, I'll
if you're listening.
I'll deal with him. Don't worry.
If you're listening, you might want to keep. You
know, I can be the easiest and the worst neighbor.
If that camera, though, is on technically on our side of the property.
It's not. But
if it were to be.
Yes, you could remove it.
Okay, cool. So keep in mind. I'm going to pull a little string from that one post to the other post.
It's not. Me and Dad already looked.
All right. Well, he's riding a thin line.
No, it's. I'm not saying it's not.
Is his ladder?
On the property line. Now, the tree that his tree stands in.
Yeah.
Technically, I think started on his property and has grown over the property line. Because there's weird rules in Ohio with that.
Right, yeah.
Because, like, I have the one in the backyard.
Backyard right now.
That the neighbors just want to buy that little square.
Yeah.
So it's their tree.
Yeah. But it's like right on the line.
It grew over the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah.
Now, I mean, it's a huge tree. It's like 3.5 foot in diameter.
It's giant. It is giant.
But when it was little, it was on their side.
Mm-hmm.
So they would just want to buy that little square of the yard. Just so there's no questions.
I'd say just cut it all down. Cut it down, burn it. And then, you know what? Pour poison down the tree where stump where you cut it down.
Did that happen to somebody?
Nah, I don't know. No, I'm just being.
I see neighbors do that a lot. Like
being dramatic. Actually, I seen a case for that. It was the only time I ever agreed and thought like chemicals. The only time I ever thought it was actually useful. And what the guy was doing, he was thinning out like a forest or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what he did, the way he did it, is he basically just drilled a hole into the tree and then injected like this chemical basically in there.
Yeah.
And it just slowly, it killed the tree.
Yeah. I mean, was it a mulberry or something?
Something like that. But it's just, it prevented the tree from spreading like other unwanted species like itself out. But it basically, it didn't get into the ground. It just got into the tree, would go through it and mm-hmm. kill just that one tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh. Okay. Well, I guess if you're specifically targeting things.
So I did those kind of works.
Yeah.
We're targeting stuff. And it's sometimes the only way you can actually like. Mulberries, you can cut to the stump. You can put the stump be gone powder on them.
And they're coming back.
They're coming back.
Yeah. Mulberries are pretty hardy. They're pretty tough.
Like raspberries. And delicious. Like a bunch of homestead people, like once you, wherever you plant raspberries, you better want raspberries there for the next 100 years because they're not leaving.
Yeah.
And he, you know, they were adamant. The only way you're getting rid of raspberries is, you know, Roundup.
Ugh. 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 Ugh.
Because they just they'll go dormant and then they'll come back.
Yeah. Or you get a big backhoe and you dig up everything for like 2 feet down.
Mm-hmm.
That's necessary.
I gotta dig up all my big front garden out of here. So we gotta decide where to put all that stuff.
And there's I wonder where. There's so much limited room.
No, space. I know. I'm not saying it's limited.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Because I kind of wanted to do the big trees on the outside of the grass run. The fruit trees in a line on the inside of the grass run
mm-hmm.
and just do like three apple or four apple, three of everything.
Yeah.
Going down the whole way down the run.
Mm-hmm. Down the line.
And then, you know, there's cherries, raspberries, blackberries, boysenberries. And I got like 8 pawpaws now.
Snozzberries.
No. So yeah, the house supposedly should be here. Hopefully we'll start on the septic and stuff soon, which you should call your mom after this.
Just sounds funny to say. Let's not do that again.
Why?
Is it just I don't like that?
Well, you should call her. Talk to her.
Well, I'll do that, but not about septic crap.
You're not talking to her about the septic stuff.
No, okay.
Talking to her about paperwork.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll talk. Well, she'll be there tonight.
I won't be.
Oh, wow. Wow. Skipping out on cards.
Yeah, well, it's
sad day.
I'm out of money. I'm way out of money.
Can't make money if you don't spend it.
I spent plenty.
You could make it all back at cards.
For anybody that doesn't know, no, I couldn't. For anybody that doesn't know, if you like take a mortgage out or a car payment or whatever, you're gonna roughly pay back double whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just so everybody at home knows.
Yeah.
So like I had to buy a $20,000 truck. I didn't have to buy that specific thing, but it was a really good deal. And our van died on us in the middle of Cincinnati.
Not good.
Yeah, like with the dog and all the kids. It was horrible. So I just like, I'm done. I've never bought a nice new vehicle in my life. So I'm going to go buy a nice new vehicle.
Yeah.
But I'm going to end up paying like $36,000 or $37,000 for a $20,000 truck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a crappy part.
I mean, same way, if you take $200,000 for a house, you're paying $400,000 back. Mm-hmm. But it's banks make, that's how they make their money. I mean, just, you just got to realize that.
It's usury.
And you got to make sure there's no penalties for early payoff.
That's also usury.
Well, that's, I'm saying, get that in the contract. There's no penalties for early payoff.
Yeah.
So if you pay a little bit extra every month and you get the principal down to nothing, that's what, so like my mortgage, I won't give you actual numbers or nothing, but let's say my mortgage right now is $800 a month.
Okay.
Only 450 of that goes to my principal.
Okay.
So the 350 else is going to taxes, their cut and everything else. But I also rolled my property and city, my property taxes into that.
Okay.
So I don't have to deal with my property taxes ever.
Oh, gotcha.
They just take it out of the mortgage at the end of the year.
It's pukes.
But if let's say I pay 850, that 50 goes straight to the principal, which is the actual amount I owe on the house.
Okay.
So anything you pay extra, if you can, and most of them, you'll be able to pay down the principal faster so they make less money.
Gotcha.
That's why you got to watch for, like, all my vehicles. I've had a loan on a vehicle since I was 17 to build credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always paid them off about 6 months early.
Yeah.
But you don't want to go too early because then it can negatively affect your credit too.
Just ridiculous.
Because, I mean, for the banks, what they want to make sure is you're going to pay on time regularly.
Right. But that not, but not too on time.
Because they don't make money then.
Exactly.
So, I mean, as far as a business goes from their standpoint, if you're just going to turn around and pay it off, why are you dealing with us?
Yeah. I don't know. Because I don't want to spend my money right now.
But you already, like, if you pay it off in 6 months, you might as well have.
Well, I didn't have it. I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just
it's
saying.
It's wrong is what I'm saying. It's wrong.
That's how
they're all scams. Everything's a scam.
No, it. Just understand it. Just understand.
Understand the scam.
Yeah.
And then beat it at their own game.
So like the little house I bought.
Yes.
Or it's not even a little house. 950 square feet. 960 square feet. Sorry. It is, doesn't even classify as a tiny home.
Okay.
It's double the size of a tiny home, the large size. So it costs $15,000, but through the lending company, I'd pay $29,000 if I let it go the whole way. But I made sure there's no early payoff penalty.
Okay.
So I can turn around and just pay the $14,500 and it goes away.
Nice.
That's what I'm saying. That's the principal versus the other.
Okay.
The principal is what the actual thing cost.
Mm-hmm.
So gotcha. You can just make sure you don't have early payoff penalty.
It's a good thing to look at, be aware of.
Yeah, pretty
it's
much.
It's all this just financial trickery that they use on us to make everything harder and more difficult.
Yeah, and then like half percents on stuff or quarter percents. It does matter.
Yeah.
Some people don't really like, it's hard because you're like, well, 7% versus 6.75%.
Yeah.
If you're taking a car loan or a mortgage or whatever, that matters.
That 0.25%, whatever. Yes. Okay, explain why.
Because it's compounding. So over time, that number can get very big, very quickly.
Like in Office Space, when they tried to do the thing where they strip off the remainder of all the pennies and put it into a separate account.
Yeah.
And then they realized the next day they had to look over $1 million because it was so much they didn't realize how quickly those small numbers accumulate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay, makes sense.
No, it happens very fast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, lowest interest rate, like mortgage rates right now are like 8 or 9%.
Mm-hmm.
On this house, we have it down to 4, and that was on the rise.
Yeah.
It was a very small time. It was like 3.
Remember when we threw tea in the harbor off a, what was 2%? 2% tax rate? Ah!
The average citizen pays about 55% of their income in taxes.
Wonderful. That's just good. That's good planning, you know? That's by the people, for the people. It's just what the people wanted. I guarantee it. That's what the people of this country want. We all want that. That's why it's happening, because we all want that to happen. We all want it. So it's happening.
But yeah, so homestead stuff, I don't think we'll be planting. Well, I got to plant my plants I'm taking from here this fall, winter.
This year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to do them when they go dormant.
Oh, gotcha. Makes
sense. Before they wake back up.
Yeah.
So everything I got to take out and go rebury.
Oh, gosh.
Which it's not, I mean, it's three plants per box besides, like, I'm not going to save the strawberries or nothing like that.
Yeah.
But, like, the big, like, my woody plants.
Big trees.
And my cherries. Like, I've had those cherries 3 years. This is going to be the next year where they
take off.
Yeah. Well, they're huge. When I bought them, they were little sticks.
Yeah.
So my cherry bushes, that kind of stuff. But other than that, we'll start planting in the spring.
Mm. And, you know, we got to plant, you know, the whole long driveway. I mean, even having a cool little hedgerow running that.
Bamboo.
Bamboo would be sweet. Yeah.
That would be good for snow.
Yeah, keeping the snow out.
Mm-hmm. If you actually could do that.
I think we should widen the driveway, too, like the telephone poles. I think that was a good idea.
As long as your parents are okay with that.
I think they're fine. How big is the easement?
It's 20 feet, and the driveway is only like 13 or 14 right now.
So the easement's 20 feet. Are the poles at the edge of the 20 foot right now?
No, they're at the edge of the driveway.
Mm, so we could go all the way to the 20 foot before even asking anybody anything.
Well, it still would be polite.
Well, I know, of course. But, yeah, I don't know. Interesting. All right. Just thinking out loud.
Ducks. I love ducks. Me and Lisa's. I'm obviously a bird person.
So why have ducks on a homestead?
They do. They are very versatile. We've done chickens. We've done quail. We'll talk about ducks.
Okay.
Ducks have a lot of disadvantages and advantages compared to the other two. So I'd say the big thing with quail is the turnaround time.
Very fast.
For egg production, for meat production, for, you know, giving birth, incubation. They're the fast and the
fecundity
furious.
Rate.
Fecundity, yes. High fecundity.
High fecundity rate.
They're the fast and the furious.
Okay.
Chickens, I'm going to say, straddle the middle.
Okay.
Where... chickens are amazing, amazing omnivores. There's very, very, very little things a chicken cannot eat. They produce an egg about every day, depending on the breed. Depending on your breed, you can get a very class of egg. And they're very cold hardy and very hot hardy, especially when you get very breed dependent. They've been domesticated for a very, very long time. So you can find, if you want to find a chicken that's really good in wet, hot environments, they exist. You want to find a chicken that's very good in cold, hard environments. There's things like mottled hounds, which are a type of Polish that are bred specifically to keep little animals alive in the winter.
Okay.
That's like, so there's chickens, there's so many breeds.
That fill so many niches.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I think is one of the amazing things with homesteading chickens is that there are egg production, there's dual production, there's meat production, dozens and dozens and dozens of fancies, but
feather production.
There's even more hyper-specific than that, like cold, dry, cold, wet. Swamp, wooded, open pasture.
Mm.
Like, not just because they're pretty. Like, blackbirds, we've talked about. Why do blackbirds do better in open fields? Because they look like crows. So yeah. Hawks and eagles don't mess with them.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So there's reasons. But so that, let's say their production is medium. Speed on eggs. Fast on meat now with some of the modern genetics we have in meat production poultry. But yeah, so like it takes 6 to 9 months for them to start laying eggs. And most of the time by that time, it's the end of the year and they'll kind of stop anyways.
Okay.
Well, you can get them to lay through the winter, but it's hard when they're just starting to keep them going.
Yeah.
So ducks are on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Okay.
They are the longest finishers. They take a long time to finish compared to the other two kind of big groups. They take a long time to start laying eggs, especially some of my favorite breeds. But they have a lot more benefits. They have their own set of benefits too. So we'll talk about that. So like one of the big things before we get into the actual breeds of them, ducks are extremely great foragers.
Okay.
Specifically for insects, arachnids, ticks. They'll go through grass and pastures and paddocks and eat everything that has multiple legs.
Hey, all right.
They're so good at, you have to do, so feed input.
Get them in my house.
That's the plan. Feed input on ducks, specifically free-range ducks, is much, much, much lower. Some, depending on like Muscovies, which we'll talk about, and some of the other like really good foraging breeds.
Yeah.
You never have to feed them.
Okay.
If you free-range them, if you let them go through the space they need to find their own food,
they'll be fine.
They are completely happy finding their own food, and you can supplement with like crack corn or anything else like that.
Jimmy?
Yeah. And then there are other duck breeds that are high, they're specialized runners. The Fightens, they have runners.
Yeah.
They are specifically bred to weed and eat the bugs off of really tall plants. That's why they stand straight up.
Oh.
But they're the dumbest of all the ducks.
Oh, okay. That was in that book. Mm-hmm. Your
the
book,
standard of perfection.
Yeah, where they're standing up all tall with long necks.
Yeah, so that's one of the big benefits of ducks right off the rip is they are a lot less feed conservative or feed costly.
Okay.
When they are free ranged.
Okay.
Another thing is they're a lot better at free range.
They do better?
Yes.
Okay, understood.
They don't roost like chickens. They'll still go into a coop or whatever or a house. If you raise them with dogs, a lot of times they'll befriend the dog and sleep wherever the dog sleeps if you have an outside dog.
Nice.
So they're not dumb. They know that's a protector, just like they view you as a protector. Where, like, my Muscovies, a lot of them aren't friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But they know that when they see me walking out with a plate of food, they know it's for them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I have three or four now I can pick up, and they're getting a lot friendlier and stuff like that.
Earl's not one of them, though.
Earl hates.
Everything.
Yeah. But his wife died when they were very young, so.
Yeah, that was that one winter, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's still pretty bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You got to be the king of the castle. Sometimes you got to be the bitter. Like Beauty and the Beast. When he was the Beast, he had to run things. And sometimes you got to be that way.
So cost effectiveness when it comes to free range food, they're a lot better. They're pretty smart. They're pretty good about not having to be watched. Now, it depends on your predators you have around and stuff like that. A coyote's still going to eat a big duck. Don't matter.
Right.
But they're a lot more resistant to a lot of the smaller predators, like raccoons, mink, fox. Not saying a fox won't kill your big
squirrel.
Ducks. Yeah. But they're a lot more resistant to it.
Gotcha, yeah.
Another huge benefit over ducks for most species, especially Muscovies, which we'll get into, is their broodiness, their ability to reproduce and make more of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Muscovies out of any domestic fowl, I'll put this out there for me, Muscovies out of any domestic fowl are the best at it.
As far as hatch rate.
Hatching, producing babies, making babies. Like, they'll starve to death, they'll hatch 30, 40 eggs. There's a nest back there with like 50 eggs in it.
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
And our last batch was 31, and they hatched 30 of them.
Yeah.
They're great at it. But what we used them on the farm is we'd give them other eggs, like chicken eggs, other ducks.
Sneak them in there?
Turkeys. You don't have to sneak them. Just give them to them.
Okay, and they're just welcome.
Just put them in. They have a nest made. You just put them in there, and they'll hatch them. They don't care. They just do not care.
Now, how do they do chicken eggs? Do they require different temperatures and stuff?
They're pretty close to the same.
So close enough for them to just do it. Okay.
Most of our domestic fowl are like right at 99.5 to 100.
What if you threw some quail in there? Would it still,
they'd hatch them.
Really?
If they didn't crush them.
Yeah, that's the big thing, yeah.
But they would.
That's wild. That would be fun.
I've given them bantam eggs, which are tiny.
Tiny eggs, yeah.
Yeah, they're not quite as small as quail, but some of them are pretty close.
That would be nuts. See them, I don't know, that'd be fun to see them hatch like little quail, mm-hmm. and then the quail following them around. That'd be
And they're really good moms.
That'd be wild.
They lead their kids around to food. So yeah, let's get into specific breeds.
Sure.
So I guess negatives. The time for egg production, most of the time your ducks aren't going to be laying the same year they're born.
Right.
That's a lot longer than quail.
And they're a long-term project.
Yes. Ducks for meat carcass, too, specifically Muscovies, are the longest. But like Pekins and other ducks we'll talk about, meat ducks that are bred for meat are typically like 2 to 4 months, which is pretty long for a meat production bird.
Because aren't your...
Muscovies are up to a year.
Oh, wow.
They're long finishers. They're one of the best carcasses to eat.
Really?
But they're long finishers.
I don't think I've ever eaten Muscovy.
It's very different. And I've eaten all of like ducks and Muscovies.
And I haven't even eaten a whole lot of duck.
Domestic duck is very different than wild duck. I love wild duck and I love domestic duck, but they're not the same
type of meat. What's different?
So first off, the wild duck almost looks like steak. It's so red and dark.
Yeah. Is that good though?
Yeah. It just has its own flavor. It's really woody, depending on which duck you eat.
Like a wood duck?
Well, wood ducks, they eat a lot of acorns, so they end up tasting like acorns.
Oh, interesting.
And then your farmed ducks are a much more lighter colored meat, much more like a really juicy chicken.
Yeah, like dark meat chicken.
I wouldn't even say that. They're not even that dark.
Okay. But I mean, like, as far as, you know, dark meat's usually juicier. Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I think it tastes too much like iron for me.
I love
it. I don't like eating like a chicken thigh. I'd rather put that in soup and something like that.
No, I'll eat it. I'll eat it.
Chicken, it's just my
preference. A drum? Give me a drum all day. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not a drumette.
Yes.
A drum. Give me that chicken leg. I'll eat it. I'll eat all of them.
But yeah, so they're both meat and eggs. There's plenty of breeds that produce eggs. There's plenty of breeds that produce meat. And there's plenty of dual-purpose breeds. Depends on what you want ducks for. Here's what I would say is, if you just want eggs, ducks aren't for you.
Okay.
If you want eggs and meat, or eggs and a weeder, eggs and a bug eater, or you want the least input that you have to do for eggs, and not necessarily the amount of eggs that you want, then ducks are for you.
Okay.
They're much more independent than chickens. They, especially the big-bodied ducks, they want to roam. They want to walk around the yard. They don't want to be in a little pen.
Right, exactly.
And ducks don't care for that. Not saying it's wrong to have them in a pen. They want to roam.
They don't prefer it.
Yeah. Oh. If you're raising ducks that will be harvested for their meat, then choose a breed that is just, you know, has desirable characteristics to fit your homestead. Picking the right breed is a huge deal with any livestock. So egg production. The main goal is to have duck eggs. They're great, first off. I think they taste better than chicken eggs.
They're a lot richer. They're darker.
They are a lot richer.
Yeah.
They kind of make me sick if you eat them.
So much, yeah.
But when you're baking or cooking or anything like that, they're great.
That's the better. Oh, yeah.
Just like chicken, each breed of duck lays a different amount of eggs. For example, Pekin ducks are one of the most popular egg and meat production birds, and a good Pekin hen is known to lay over 300 eggs a year.
Wow. Okay.
So if you get good genetics, good Pekins, they'll lay up there with the best of the chickens.
Yeah.
Muscovy ducks, on the other end, produce much less. On the high end, averaging around 200 a year.
Okay. Hmm.
But Muscovy duck eggs are also twice the size of a Pekin egg.
Yeah. So maybe pound for pound, it's probably similar.
I'd say a Pekin hen lays more weight of eggs than any chicken.
Oh, okay.
In a year. A good Pekin hen versus a good chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're huge. They're massive. A good Pekin hen. So yeah, you got to decide what you want. And there's a lot of ducks for meat production. A lot of people raise ducks for meat sources. And once again, it's important that you know what breed you're getting, because many ducks are not right for meat production. Like if you pick a runner to eat, you're just eating bones.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah,
they're just a stick.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's plenty of ducks that just don't produce a carcass.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm? Now, what about mallards?
There is a domestic version of mallards, and then there's a thing called a ruin, which we can talk about.
A ruin?
A ruin.
Okay.
Which looks like a giant mallard.
But it's a wild, or is it domesticated?
No, they're both domestic.
Oh,
there's okay. Domestic mallards.
Oh, gotcha.
Which are considered decorative or bantam ducks.
Okay.
Because of their size.
Okay.
Every domestic duck is genetically a mallard except Muscovies.
Okay, gotcha.
Like every dog is a wolf?
Yeah.
Every duck that's domesticated is a mallard by genetics, except Muscovies. They're the only one.
Hmm.
They're just Muscovies.
Right, they're their own thing.
They're wild Muscovies. They look just the same.
Yeah.
Adult size and space requirement. Ducks are typically larger than chickens, and they tend to require a lot more space. Ducks are only... one of the big complaints with ducks is they're stinky.
Yeah.
They're like pigs. They are only stinky if you let them be stinky.
Mm-hmm.
Ducks want to roam. They want to play in the water. They want to walk around the yard. They don't want to poop in a pit.
Right.
But if you give them an 8x8 space and you have 20 ducks in there.
Yeah, they're going to be.
It's going to be stinky because they're pooping. Constantly.
Where's the poop go?
Mm-hmm. If there isn't enough space or pasture available in the homestead site to raise ducks, choose egg-laying breeds. Most of the egg-laying breeds are known to do better in smaller spaces. Like Indian runners, we already mentioned. Mm-hmm. But some of the other small breeds, there are small breeds of duck. So if you don't have a lot of space, don't pick a Muscovy, don't pick a Ruin, don't pick a Pekin.
Yeah.
Because they're massive. You know, they need space. Runners only require about 2 square feet per bird, which is less than chickens. And they lay about 200 eggs a year, too.
That's a pretty good amount.
Mm-hmm. Also, not all breeds handle confinement. You don't plan to free range your ducks. Read about their personalities and how they handle being confined in a penned area. Even if they decide to free range, make sure you have enough space. A flock of Ruins or Muscovies will easily free range a 2.5-acre plot of land.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Easily.
That's good. That's good coverage.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, the lack of space is a problem for them and for them to get their full nutrients from, you know, walking.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the most popular duck in the world.
Okay.
The pekin.
Now, this is the one that's like...
This is Aflac.
That one. Isn't it too, like, when you go to, like, I don't know, like, Chinese restaurant, they...
Peking duck?
Yeah. Is that the same thing or no?
Yes, no.
Okay.
Most of the time, they are pekin ducks.
Is that just a style of cooking?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know.
I know they can be mallards. I know that most of the time, they are pekin ducks. I don't know if it's directly the same thing because it's not spelled the same, I don't think.
Oh, okay. I just know it sounds close. I always think of Christmas Story at the end when they go to the Chinese restaurant.
I don't know enough to say whether yes or no.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But I've seen them do it with domestic mallards.
All I know is I seen it on a Christmas Story, and then I seen on the show Good Eats, he made the Peking duck, and it looks so stinking good.
Ducks are tasty.
Oh, it looks so good.
So this is probably the most well-known breed of duck in the world, the Peking duck.
Okay.
They're classic white duck everybody knows and loves. There is another breed that looks just like them, except it has a pink bill.
Okay.
So Pekin ducks are white with a yellow bill.
Okay.
Yellow, orange, whatever you want to call
Basically, yes. Like you said, the Aflac duck. Just think of that.
First off, they lay a tremendous amount of eggs, easily averaging over 300 eggs per year.
Dang.
So if your goal is egg production, you can't go wrong with a Pekin. And their eggs are typically large classification. It means they weigh between 3 and 4 ounces, which is huge.
Yeah, that's a big egg.
They're also a great choice for meat production, especially if you allow them to free range with supplemental feed. Typically, you butcher a Pekin duck at 6 to 10 weeks of age. Their meat is flavorful and dark. They're perfect. Pekin ducks do require, though, a lot of space, about 15 square feet for each, which, to keep in mind, the chicken is about 3.5 square feet. So they do like a lot of room.
Mm-hmm.
However, they handle living in confined pens quite well. When allowed to free range, they are excellent foragers. It's hard not to love these ducks. They are generally considered extremely friendly and very gentle, especially if raised on your homestead with kids at a young age.
Mm.
They'll come right up to you and sit in your lap. I've had that happen with Pekins. If you
really?
Raise them, yeah.
I just thought of a question for you. What's your favorite duck that's been in, like, you know, TV or movies? You got one? On the spot. I've got two while you're thinking.
Go ahead.
Well, one of them is the very famous Howard the Duck. But that one I'm not really counting because it's a guy in a suit, like not a literal duck. Mm. But there was a duck in a movie called Scorched. The movie was called Scorched with Woody Harrelson. I forget who else is in that movie now that I think about it.
I know my duck. Sorry, go ahead.
No, so hang on to it. And this movie Scorched, he had this pet duck named George, I think it was. And it was Woody Harrelson. It was great. It's a great movie, but George like stole the show in that movie because it was Woody Harrelson's duck, and he lived in like this. I don't know. He was an eccentric character, but he had this duck living with him, and he would jump up like on his stuff and leave tracks everywhere, and he's always yelling at him. Like, I don't know. Good movie, Scorched with Woody Harrelson. Good movie.
Ferdinand.
Ooh, Ferdinand. What's that
from Babe?
Oh,
it was Babe's
okay.
friend. It was a Pekin duck. Remember, his girlfriend got eaten on Christmas dinner.
Oh, no, I don't remember. Oh, jeez.
Because it was supposed to be him.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy. Poor Ferdinand.
Yeah, but he was really sassy.
So, what are you trying to say?
He just was sassy. I don't know.
Well, he deserved it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, his girlfriend didn't. She didn't do anything.
Well, no, but you're saying he had to suffer through that pain.
It was supposed to be him.
Because of how sassy he was. Mm-hmm.
Next is Muscovies.
All right.
Number one on this list for me. If you're looking for a meat duck, this is your breed, even though they technically aren't ducks.
Muscovy ducks.
They are much more similar to geese, but they do have duck characteristics as well.
Hmm.
Muscovies are one of the oldest domestic waterfowl in the world.
It's pretty cool.
Muscovy ducks won't lay you many eggs per year, though. Like I said, they average is between 60 and 100 per year.
That's a far-off cry or a far-off shot from the Peking.
Yeah.
Or Pekin.
However, when they shine as meat ducks, they have the highest amount of meat yield of any domestic duck breed in the world. But they do take a long time. Most people will wait 20 weeks or longer to butcher.
How old's Earl?
He's plenty old enough. He's actually pretty small for an adult male Muscovy. Yeah.
He's probably beyond
the time too to mm-hmm. to call him.
But yeah, so well, they don't do great in egg, and also what this list doesn't even get into is their hatching capabilities, their self-reproduction. There's plenty of homesteads that have never bought more than like 8 Muscovies and have like 50.
Yeah.
When we had our house out in the country, I don't even know how many Muscovies we had. They would roost on the barn. I only ever bought like 4.
Mm-hmm.
I probably hundreds. Yeah. I don't know, through the years.
Because they just reproduce so well.
Pastor Kuiper, there was a invasive population of them in Kenton for a while, and it was his fault.
Uh-oh. What, they get out?
They bred so fast in his backyard, and he had a pair of them. And they started roosting on his house. And then one day they started going down the other side of the house, and they just started flooding the town.
Uh-oh. Invasion of the Muscovies.
Mm-hmm. There's still some running around out there.
Well, good. You know, towns need more ducks.
Muscovies are also considered to have a very strong flavor.
Is that good or bad?
Some people really like it. Some people don't. It matters. Do you like a really mild, I guess, chicken, or do you like duck flavor? I like duck flavor when I'm eating duck.
Yeah, I want the flavor. Mm-hmm. So they'd make good soups and bouillon cubes.
Would they? I don't know.
I don't know. They're stocks, not soups. Sorry.
I've only ever had them roasted, really.
Mm, roasted duck stock.
So they're really oily, not in a bad way, but you'd cook them in ways to kind of let that oil get out a little bit.
Okay.
Like a roast is a good way. Because you put a drip tray under them.
Yeah.
Drip. Ruins are next. Ruins are very popular. They're famous for looking like gigantic mallard ducks.
How do you spell that?
R-O-U-E-N.
Okay. I had no idea.
Ruin. It's like ruin as in ruins, but not spelled like that. But
right,
that's
how it's pronounced. Right, yeah.
Gotta move. Ruin ducks are considered a dual-purpose duck. They're great at meat and egg production. But if you're raising them for the sole purpose of meat production, no, they do take quite a while to grow full size. In general, expect to raise these ducks for 6 to 8 months before butchering. So pretty long.
Yeah.
However, if you have patience, and when they reach butchering size, they produce a very decent-sized carcass. It means you need to make sure you have time and resources to raise them for an extended time frame. When it comes to egg production, ruin ducks only lay between 35 and 100 eggs per year. So these definitely aren't ideal egg production ducks. They're better for meat. But if you have, when it comes to space, ruins typically require only 10 square feet. Each handle can find it very well. Given some extra free time outside of the pens, they keep them happy. They love to forage for food, but they also are considered quite lazy as a duck.
Mm. Okay.
Any questions?
What's their real benefit then?
They're just one of the dual purpose.
Okay.
They got a decent carcass. They're giant, though. I mean, they get big.
Okay, so that's
it. So if you want a Christmas duck, this is probably the one you're getting. Nice. They're not as big. Muscovies are the biggest on this list. Male Muscovies are the biggest on this list. But Muscovies are very sexually dimorphic when it comes to the size difference of males and females.
Right.
When most duck breeds aren't. It always is. Males of most of these duck breeds will be a little larger.
Just slightly, yeah.
But Muscovies can be like 5 times larger.
I mean, you can just look in your backyard and see the difference.
I mean, yeah. Indian runner ducks. One of the first ducks that people really get into is Indian runners. These ducks have a long history. One of the top duck egg production breeds in the world, laying between 220 and 250 eggs per year on average. However, they are not meat ducks.
Okay.
They have little meat, and they also have upright bodies. Another thing is noted when raising these ducks, they are quite docile, but they're very, very active.
Okay.
They forage and explore regularly. So while they handle confinement, they excel when they're allowed to free range, at least partially. Indian runners cannot fly, perhaps due to their body length and small wings. However, their name suggests they like to run, and they run like the wind, especially when separated from the rest of their flock. They're like bowling pins running around.
That's kind of cool.
Now, they will not hatch their own eggs. So some of these ducks are more broody or more likely to hatch their eggs than others.
Yeah.
Everybody else on this list will hatch their own eggs except these guys.
So how do they keep, are they like only surviving through domestication?
Yeah, all these are domestic birds besides Muscovies.
Oh, fair, true. That makes sense. But I feel like some chickens, like you could let go and they'll survive.
Most of these you could too.
Yeah.
I mean, like
most except of these guys?
Yeah. Now they would die in one generation.
Yeah, exactly.
Because their bodies, they can't incubate an egg, they can't make a nest. We bred them to be impossible to do.
We did things. This?
Yes.
Of course. course we did.
Yeah, because they're bred to reach taller things to weed out bugs.
Okay.
And that's why they stand upright like a bowling pin.
Get up in them little bushes.
Ancon ducks. If you're looking for a friendly duck breed, consider the Ancons. Not only are they impressive egg layers, but they are friendly and calm, especially when raised and handled very often from the start. They lay between 200 and 280 eggs per year, laying a blue-tinted egg. However, their eggs are small compared to other breeds. You can also raise them for their flavorful meat. It's less fatty than other breeds.
Mm.
This is the king of egg production, this next duck we're going to talk about.
Okay.
The Khaki Campbell.
I've never even heard of this guy.
You've seen him. They're the brown duck.
Oh, okay.
They're very pretty. Now, if you just look at them from a distance, they're just brown.
Yeah.
You get up, they have what's called penciling and lining, nice, which is details on the feathers.
Yeah.
And they look like they're hand done. They're so pretty. A Khaki Campbells are a cross an ancient cross between a ruined duck and an Indian runner, making them more prolific egg-laying breeds. These ducks can lay anywhere from 200 and 260 eggs per year, but it is not unheard of for the average Khaki Campbell, depending on your flock, to lay over 300 per year, and there are records of them laying up to 350 eggs per year.
Just so much, like one a day, basically.
Mm-hmm. In general, these ducks don't require much space when compared to other ducks. It is recommended, though, they have at least 12 square feet per duck. Another reason why these are some of the best homestead duck breeds is that they are known for their calm and friendly demeanor. We had some of our kids in 4-H raise these. They're very popular because of that.
Okay.
They're very easy to work with.
Yeah.
Right? They're very calm, but they're really easy. They're really easy going.
Yeah.
They're better in confinement. They're great with small children and love free ranging if given the opportunity. And they're known to follow their keepers around.
Nice. You ever seen that video? I don't know if it's in the UK or something, that marching, they march these ducks through the town like a parade.
Yeah.
The guy playing the drums.
It's geese, but yes.
Oh, it's geese. Okay. Same it's difference.
France.
Same difference. That country. Mm-hmm. You know, they speak a dead language there.
Yeah. Aylesbury ducks are more popular in England and Europe than in the United States. They are listed as critically endangered by the Livestock Conservancy here in the United States. So if you're looking to breed and raise to support its growth, it would be a great choice for you. The Aylesbury duck are quick growers reaching butchering late between 7 and 12 weeks of life. People say they are tastier than Pekins.
Mm.
These are the ones that have the pink bill.
Oh, okay.
They look just like Pekins, but they have a pink bill.
Gotcha.
That being said, there are some reasons why Aylesbury ducks aren't as popular as other breeds. First off, they lay less than 30 eggs per year.
That's a lot.
And they only lay a medium-sized egg.
It's like, oh gosh. That's very, not much.
So if you're looking just for egg production, don't get this one.
No.
Also, many homesteaders love to free-range their animals, but these ducks prefer to be fed rather than forage.
Okay.
They prefer confinement, but they do require about 15 square feet. They do not do well on open ranges.
Mm. Yeah, this seems like a problem one.
They will die. They raise these ducks for meat. If you want to support the endangered species, though, and focus on breeding them, that's for other things.
Mm.
They are listed as a Livestock Conservancy endangered species.
Gotcha.
Like your Cavercores.
Yeah, Cavercore chickens.
I think they're still listed as endangered. I haven't looked in a while. Saxony ducks. Another homestead breed is known for growing quickly and producing a solid amount of eggs per year. On average, they lay up to breeds between 200 medium-sized eggs per year. The ducks handle confinement in pens well and behave calmly. However, they have a tendency to become aggressive when startled. So these are turn-on fighters.
Yeah, you don't sneak up on these. It's like you.
Yeah. They only need about 15 square feet per duck to maintain optimal health. It's possible to raise these ducks for eggs and meat. However, they are slow growers. And they have very lean meat.
Mmm. Good old lean meat.
Cuyahogas.
Ooh, that's hitting close to home.
Not spelled at all the same.
Oh, that's not.
Not at all.
Darn it.
If you're looking for a homestead, these are the black ducks that when you get up close to them, you realize they're green and blue.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They lay a black or a gray egg, really dark colored egg for ducks. They're an excellent option. Their eggs range from colors from nearly pitch black, depending on the time of year. They not only lay a beautiful egg, but they are also gorgeous birds with reflective green and blue shines in their bodies. They can lay about 150 medium-sized eggs on average. They also produce delicious meat. So while they don't have the most eggs, It is a breed that you could sell hatching eggs for. They are some of the hardiest homestead duck breeds, though, thriving in cold weather. They handle confinement well and often tend to be a bit skittish, though, around people if you don't raise them from the start.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Any more questions?
I'm just trying to think in my head, narrowing it down, which ducks would be most beneficial to us.
Well, we already have a bunch of them, so.
What?
It's that breed.
Oh, there we go. Question answered.
It's that one. I mean, no, I love a lot of the duck breeds. It's just Muscovies always have had a special place with me, and they always will.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're, as far as a homesteader, as far as a farmer, I think they have so many more useful or versatile applications as incubators. First off,
yeah, that's
how
main
expensive
one.
And time consuming incubators are,
mm-hmm.
And having a bird that is willing to do it
just does it automatically. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
And they have such a long incubation. So most ducks are 28 days or 31, I believe. Muscovies are 35.
Okay.
So they won't give up on other birds' eggs because that's like up there with turkeys and geese and everything like yeah. that. But chickens will give up very quickly.
They smell something might be wrong and they're done.
Yeah, just because it's so calorie intensive.
Right, yes.
It's very damaging on the body. But silver apple-eared ducks are next.
Oh, okay.
Silver apple-eareds are adorable. Their breed is listed as threatened on the livestock conservancy list, which is a shame because they're beautiful heavyweight ducks. These ducks are large, producing plenty of lean meat. They also lay between 220 and 250 eggs per year. If you live in a cold climate, silver apple-eared ducks are a great option. They stay warm in most conditions. They are known for their docile nature and being friendly, along with excellent free-range birds. It's not a bird you have to watch very closely.
Okay. That's good, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Silver apple-eared.
Apple yards.
Oh, it's not.
It's apple yard.
Oh, wow. Gosh. It's too many ducks. It's a lot of duck info being thrown at you. A lot of duck.
We did a 5-hour episode on sheep.
Yeah, I know. That was a lot, too.
Welsh harlequin ducks. These are another ones that are listed as endangered on the Livestock Conservancy. They are a lightweight duck, which makes no sense to me. And they produce between 250 and 300 eggs per year. They are considered a classic heritage breed. You raise them for meat as well. And some people say that Welsh harlequin ducks are one of the most broodiest species. They help raise other little ducklings for their homestead. They are lightweight ducks, typically weighing only 5 to 6 pounds. They take several months to reach maturity. However, they are active foragers and produce lean meat with plenty of eggs.
All right.
Another all-star, especially here in Ohio, are the Swedish ducks. There's blue Swedish and black Swedish. They're exactly the same besides the color.
Okay. I mean, that's the only difference. Is
yeah.
The color, yeah.
They look like penguins. Have you ever seen a duck that looks like a penguin Ooh. Where they have the white bib?
I don't think so. What's black Swedish?
Or blue Swedish.
I'm gonna Google it real quick.
Black or Swedish ducks aren't as common in the United States as other breeds, but here in Ohio, they're pretty common. They are also more popular in Europe. The breeds lay up to 150 eggs per year, 10 to blue-gray each year. Not only are Swedish ducks one of the hardiest breeds, but their coloring is quite unique, making them harder for predators to spot them, and they love to forage, so they have a little bit of cryptic patterning, especially when they're big flocks.
Okay, I've seen these ones before.
Yeah, they're very common here in Ohio. They're considered a medium-sized duck and typically weigh 6 to 8 pounds. They are great for gardens and orchards. They love eating insects and bugs, and most of the time they'll leave your plants alone.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
So chickens will destroy a garden pretty quick.
Yes.
Ducks most of the time will not.
They're a little better at it?
They don't want to eat the plants.
Okay, so they want to get the bugs, just yeah. That's it. Okay.
Well, that's beneficial to have.
Yeah, not saying they won't destroy your garden, but it's much rarer for them ducks to do it. The only time it's bad is like if they start building a nest in it.
Because we had what are those little beetles that just like...
Japanese beetles?
Yeah, those just devastate everything. Mm-hmm.
No, ducks are good at, like, ducks like eat them.
Tearing them up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they can reach it, they'll eat them.
I mean, that's the biggest thing with our garden whenever we had issues or problems at home is either the bugs just tearing them up or it was the farmer spray. Farmer spray and kill everything. So, I mean, that was our biggest things we were fighting against, if we ever fight against stuff or... Our garden, but those Japanese beetles, once they'd swarm in, if you weren't on them or ready for them right away, I mean, they would just...
They're fast.
They'd destroy a whole tree in a day. But no, that's a lot of duck info.
No, like I'm partial to Muscovies. None of those are bad. I don't like Pekins. And I don't like the other one, mostly because they're just white.
Oh, jeez.
They're just, I mean, jeez. I like having colorful birds.
Is this still your white guilt?
Yeah. No, why they're bred to be white is so in industrial settings, you can see injury and illness easier. Hmm. That's why meat chickens are white. That's why Pekins are white, because they're produced in heavy industry.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you can see a broken wing because you can see the blood red on it.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's why. So I tend to not go towards white birds because of those kind of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, there's nothing wrong. Pekins, I've had a bunch of Pekins in my life. They're great, great birds. They're, on this list, if you're new to homesteading, you want faster results, Pekins are a great option.
Yeah.
They're common. They're easy to find. They're cheap. They're hardy. They're just not very pretty.
To you.
To anybody. I mean, they're just a white bird. They're just a white bird.
You know, some people might like that.
And they don't stay clean. Like, they like to play in the mud. They like to play in the water.
As you get the power washer out.
Like, most of our Pekins that end up at the fair with the kids are almost always tinted yellow.
Yeah.
Like, pea yellow.
We'll have to have a duck drive, like, car wash type thing.
And like, just peel their feathers off of them?
They just walk through, and yeah, there's, like, 8 power washers that just
kills them instantly.
Turns them into like
powdered duck.
Meat comes out the other side, just like shredded chicken or shredded duck.
There are plenty of, these are homesteading breeds. There are dozens of duck breeds that weren't on this list.
Yeah, yeah.
Like call ducks are tiny. You fit them in your pocket if you want.
I mean, we talked about wood ducks, but we didn't.
There's not really a domestic wood duck.
Okay. What about rudder ducks?
Ruddy ducks.
Ruddy, yeah.
No, there's not a domestic variety. There are people that own them.
Okay.
But I don't think you can in Ohio without permits.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Because they're part of the Migratory Waterfowl Act.
Okay.
The only wild duck breed that you can own in Ohio is the domestic version of mallards.
Oh, okay.
There is a completely domestic breed of mallards that aren't wild mallards. And you have to have proof of purchase, I believe.
Oh, wow. That's serious.
At least to start. Like, you can breed your own and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to be able to prove that you didn't just go out and catch mallards.
Right.
Because it's a shared resource for 3 countries at least.
Mm-hmm. The international bird.
Yeah.
What'd you call it? Forget.
It's the, oh gosh, now I forgot. The internet. It's the Federal Migratory Bird Act.
That's what it was, yeah. Yeah.
So they just are affected by law differently. Like, all waterfowl are highly migratory.
Mm-hmm.
Wild waterfowl. Ducks, oh, another thing we didn't even touch on is water. Ducks can be fine with a normal waterer, a chicken water. They need a lot more water than chickens do, but they don't need a pool necessarily to swim in.
Yeah.
I think it's beneficial as far as a happiness or whatever for ducks.
Yeah.
They
need their pool.
Muscovies are probably the exception to that.
Okay.
Muscovies aren't great swimmers. Their feathers aren't waterproof.
Hmm.
They're woodland forest ducks or birds. Like they're the only quote unquote duck breed we have that do not have waterproof feathers.
Wow. I didn't know that.
If you watch mine get out of the pond or the pool, they look soaked like a dog.
Yeah. They're just soaking wet, dripping.
Yeah, because their feathers are soaked.
Yeah.
So they don't do it very often.
Okay.
And they'll actually, their ducklings will drown.
Oh gosh. Yeah. That's not good.
Like they're not.
Not built for it.
Yeah. They're not very water crazy.
Yeah.
Another thing. Like, if you free-range ducks, you got to be careful if you have creeks and stuff on your property. Because sometimes they'll just leave.
Well, you got a way out. You're going to just explore. I think it's the natural way.
Because our ducks would go down to our creek and come back every day.
Yeah.
But we'd have ones every once in a while that would just leave. They'd leave. But Muscovies, I think, are the best on this list. They're huge, first off. They can be really friendly, especially if you work with them from little. They're easy to hatch, and then when you get them hatched, they do amazing. Like, they'll start hatching and keep making it.
If you get them to hatch themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you get a broody hen. Is that what they're... Are the female ducks hens still? Yeah.
Okay. It's hens and drakes, if anybody's curious.
Drakes for the males.
Yeah, they're not roosters. But they are still hens.
Yeah.
Goose and gander.
Is that where that saying comes from?
Yeah, because that's the male, the gander.
Oh.
Female's a goose.
I forget how the saying goes.
But like, so chickens are all chickens. Roosters are chickens. Yeah. Hens are chickens.
Okay.
What gender's a chicken?
What's female? Genderless? I don't know, both?
It's both.
Yeah.
The animal's a chicken.
Right, exactly, yeah. That's, well, you threw me off of that question. I was like, what? Yeah. It's chickens are non-binary. Is that true? I don't know if that's true.
The word chicken is non-binary, right? No, it is binary. It's either or.
Chicken?
Yeah. Because it's the breed of animal.
But I thought it was, but chickens can be male or female.
Yeah.
And I think that's when that, I don't know. This is too much.
Non-binary means not of two.
They're outside of it? I thought non-binary was...
It's not both.
Both.
No.
It's like you could go both. Oh, it's outside. See, hey,
it's my
know.
Understanding.
I don't know. Ducks. We're talking one. Ducks.
You're the one that got off.
I know. I brought it up. But I don't know. I was just trying to make a joke, I guess. But I don't even know. I don't know. The joke's not effective when you don't know the source material. No, I mean, ducks are a good animal to have around. I've never really eaten duck eggs, so I think I've eaten food baked with them. Like you said,
home with you.
I probably would, but I would. I don't know if I'd ever had like a duck, like scrambled egg. You know,
kids. I don't like them scrambled or like. I'm not a big egg eater anymore. I ate too many growing up.
Yeah.
But the kids, that's their favorite hard-boiled egg is a duck egg.
Duck egg. Ooh, a hard-boiled duck egg sounds good, too.
They're very rich.
Now my favorite's the hard-boiled quail egg. That's...
I mean, that's flavorful. Quail eggs are great.
But... Unbeatable to me right now until I find them. Just because there are two reasons. One, they're so flavorful and the yolk's so creamy. And I guess that could be two, but I'm lumping it into one. No matter how long you cook it, that yolk's always creamy and good and so good. And then two, it's freaking bite-sized. It's just... pop in your mouth like a piece of candy.
See, that's why Muscovies are better than quail.
Shoot, I could eat like 20 quail eggs and but I can stretch it out longer.
A Muscovy egg is the size of an adult quail.
Yeah, I know, you're right. Well, pretty much.
It's not far off.
No, it's not. But man, quail eggs are so good.
They're delicious, but I think duck eggs are really good too.
Yeah, I have to make something with them sometime soon.
Well, it's been ducks.
Ducks, you guys feel at home like you can handle some ducks? Well, I think you can. I think we can all handle some ducks. And I think it's time we get the duck out of the bag and into the homestead. It's time to let the ducks free.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Get you some ducks here at home. Take care of them. Let the ducks take care of you. It's a give and a take from both ways. So you need ducks. We all need ducks. Get you some ducks to help. Get some duck eggs, duck bites, duck sauce, duck everything. I love ducks. My fight is government denies. Take clone guides you through the lies. Flat earth claims they say there's no proof. But we know the truth. We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hold up a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Thank you.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85-plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Your future self will thank you. Go to kachava.com and use code HEALTH for 15% off your next order. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code HEALTH for 15% off.